Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, soloing again today as Judy continues supporting Jeff in his recovery. And I am so glad to be here with you. I want to make sure that you know to go to mightyparenting.com to get your free tips for better communication with your teen and to find out more about membership in the Mighty Parenting community. Today is actually a little bit of another milestone. It is our second resource show, and the resource shows are where we examine something to see how you can use it to solve a problem or make your family life better. And the resource that we're looking at today is homeschooling. Now, we haven't really talked much about it, so I can't remember if maybe in passing somewhere Judy and I had mentioned it, but both of us have homeschooled our kids for at least a period of time. In fact, until I started prepping for this show, I hadn't realized how similar her family's path and my family's path were, although for completely different reasons. But all of our kids started out in private schools, and then we homeschooled. And then they went into the public school systems in the various places that we were living. And what I learned through all of that, and my kids have reinforced, is that there isn't a perfect system for anything. There are pros and cons to every type of schooling. I also learned that there are many, many different reasons to homeschool, many different ways to do it, and many misconceptions about it. So when Allison Morrow, who is a homeschooling coach, approached us about discussing homeschooling on the podcast, we thought it'd be a good idea just to help you understand a little bit more about what it actually is, when it might be a good idea to think about it, what are the reasons maybe not to do it, but to really go, what is this? And if it's something maybe you've thought about, but you have some hurdles, I'm guessing there's a good chance Allison will discuss some of those today, because we're going to be really, really digging into the not who so much, but the what, why, and how. So Allison, thank you so much, and welcome to the Mighty Parenting community.
Thank you so much, Sandy. I'm so excited to be here with you all.
Yeah, like I said, to me, this is something that's actually kind of near and dear to my heart. I still miss homeschooling. Our journey was odd and peculiar and intertwined with my husband deciding he didn't want to be an engineer anymore and me going, okay, let me start a business and see what happens. And so our homeschooling journey was all tied up in our life journey and our career journey, and things all got twisted and turned around up until the day, as my kids say, that they fired their dad, because at that point he had taken over completely. And they said, you know, we think it's time, we'd kind of like to go and try the public school system. And
Interesting. Well, and
we may get into some of that why. Sure. I don't know that I really want to start right there, so I can share a little bit more about that later, because, you know, as I said in the intro, nothing is perfect, and and nothing has to be forever. And you know, we floated in and out of different schools, as did the Davis family. Mm-hmm. It isn't that you have to pick one path and then stick with that to the very bitter end.
Right, right.
And so that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. But let's start with talking about why families decide to homeschool. Like, what are some of the reasons that you hear parents say that they want to homeschool or they chose to homeschool? What are some of those, the whys?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
What are the reasons to do it?
Oh gosh. You know, nowadays there are so many more reasons that families are starting to homeschool. And, you know, it used to be that it was almost in almost every situation, it was religiously driven. People, you know, philosophically religious reasons. They did not want their kids in the public school because they wanted to be able to teach to, you know, through a specific worldview, through their specific beliefs. But nowadays, so many of the families I'm talking to are doing it because of the culture at the school, socially, because of safety, You know, it's unfortunate just how scary things can sometimes be at the public schools. We keep seeing these, you know, these issues of violence and gang related things and drugs and all this. And obviously not every school has those issues. And I always want to make it clear too, that even though I'm a homeschool coach, I am not, you know, hey, yay, rah, everybody should be homeschooling. My whole thing is helping families figure out what is best for them. So we don't put down anything, you know, we're realistic about it and honest about it. But, you know, when I say things like that about public school, I'm not trying to put it down. I'm just saying these are sometimes things that people are dealing with. But then also even just things like the curriculum, too much of a focus in one area or not of enough of a focus on another. Just the amount of work, maybe it's sometimes it's too much, sometimes it's too little. And families just want to be able to teach their kids in a way that really works for their child. And more families are realizing that, you know, there's a specific type of child who does very well in conventional schooling environments. But there's a lot of kids who don't. And so as homeschooling becomes a little more well-known, a little more out in the mainstream, families are starting to see that as an option for their kids who are not a great fit for that conventional environment.
Yeah. And the other thing is that it's not even necessarily that there's even something wrong or not a fit. Sometimes it's more that your family's not a fit. So for example, mm-hmm. maybe you are a family who loves to travel.
Exactly. Oh, so true. Yes.
You know, when you are tied into a traditional system. Mm-hmm. And I have talked to people who do homeschooling so that they can travel. Yeah. Or, you know, there are instances and families who they're a very entrepreneurial family and they yes. want their kids to grow up with that experience. Well, it's hard to have a child working in the family business when they're in a school structure. Not right. so much when they're little.
Right.
In fact,
right.
And when they're little, it can be a huge help for them to yeah. be gone all day at school, right? So you can get this done.
You can get stuff done. Yeah.
But you know, as they get to those middle school years or those high school years, there isn't a lot of time outside of the school and homework hours to right. do those things. And some of that, again, depends on your particular school and your situation, but and your child. I have one daughter who went through homework much more quickly than the other, but they were still just, I just felt like they were buried under yeah. the homework so often yeah. in high school. Yeah. So, you know, those are reasons, or I actually spent some time talking to a family, they're missionaries. And right. they have four children. And it was so interesting to talk to them and talk to the kids because they are homeschooling. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, their kids sure. aren't attending schools in all these different African nations and things yeah. Where they are doing missionary work. And it was, to me, it was just so interesting to talk to their kids. Mm-hmm. And find out the things they had learned about the world and politics and culture and, you know, societal issues as problem solving skills and things mm-hmm. like that yeah. were huge for them. Yeah. So there are so many different reasons. And as you said, yes, there are problems in public schools, but a lot of those problems are also cultural problems.
True.
So
Very true.
I know you know this, and I just want to make sure that people understand that when you homeschool, you're not isolating your children. They're
right.
still going to run into those things, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've run into situations like that where kids still end up getting into trouble or drinking or doing drugs or
right.
you know, there's a bullying situation, even though exactly. they're being homeschooled.
Right. It's not a silver bullet that's going to take care of every problem. And it's not something that is, I mean, there's some problems that, you know, it will absolutely help with, but exactly like you're saying, they're, you know, you don't want to completely isolate your child, separate them from the world, separate them from, you know, society and culture. But, that unfortunately means that yes, there's always going to be those issues to deal with, even if they're not directly dealing with them. They're going to have friends maybe who are, they're going to see other kids that are getting involved in things or struggling with things. And so our children, even if we're homeschooling them, need to understand what those issues are rooted in. Why are these things happening? And how, you know, how they can handle them, how they can help their friends handle them, how they can, you know, how they can tackle the issues that are the root cause of the problems that they're seeing in culture. So yeah, it's definitely, it's certainly not wise to, you know, completely isolate your child. And that's, I think, one of the things that, that people assume about homeschooling, that it means that you're in the house all day, yes, sitting around the kitchen table, you know, and I always laugh about how little time we spend at home, even though we quote unquote homeschool. Most of our school is not at home, you know? And so I think that's, you're absolutely right. It really does not, you know, do away with every problem in the world. You're not, you can't just hide your eyes and bury your head in the sand and pretend like those things don't exist just because we homeschool. But it can definitely help to kind of mitigate some of the damage and also help you to help your child better deal with those issues in culture.
Well, and Allison, I liked the way you were talking about it, where you said you're going to talk to your kids, you're going to talk to them about these issues and what happens and the whys and all of those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And there's also so much more opportunity to have those kinds of important discussions around, right, worldview. Mm-hmm. All kinds of topics, whether it's something that's being experienced personally or in your community or in our country or our world, there, right, would be so many more opportunities for discussion around that, right?
Yes, because you're together so much more. You're spending so much more time with your child than you normally would, which when you look at how much time, particularly once kids hit middle school and high school, and there are so many more activities for them to be involved in, the amount of quality time you're able to spend with your child in conversation about real and deep and important things becomes, you just don't have that opportunity nearly as much as you did when they were younger. And when they're older is the time when you really need to be having those conversations. You know, a lot of that stuff, you don't even, it's not even necessarily appropriate to talk about at the level that it needs to be talked about when a child is much younger. So as they're hitting this age where it's like, gosh, we really need to be having these conversations. We really need to be, you know, talking with our kid about what they believe and why, or what they think is the problem here, or why this is good or why this is bad, or whatever. We're needing to do that at a time when we just almost never have the opportunity. And so yeah, it's so great to be able to homeschool and to have your child with you so much more so that you have those opportunities and you can even build in those conversations into what you are studying, what you're learning, what you're doing for, you know, quote unquote, for school. So everything is integrated that way.
Yeah. The program that we followed, because we are a very book-driven family, it was, mm-hmm, a literature-based program.
Oh, awesome.
And so there was a lot of reading involved. It was kids reading on their own, but also read aloud time.
Oh, I love
and
that.
That was when I found we had some really good and interesting discussions. Now, my kids were younger. Mm-hmm. They were not high school age when we were doing that, but still, you're taking things like, here's a story of two brothers in the Civil War who the dad sent one to fight on each side.
Wow.
And then, you know, they run across each other. Well, are you brothers? Are you enemies? What do you do? And to, yeah, be able to have those kinds of moral and philosophical conversations with your kids, mm-hmm, is, to me, a really great gift. But like you said, a lot of people are coming to this for a lot of different reasons. Let's talk a little bit about, so we mentioned this idea. You said not everybody does particularly well in the traditional classroom setting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, we see families struggle. The kids, right, can be struggling with other kids, with their homework, with their teachers. The parents can be struggling with administrators. Parents can end up in power struggles with our kids. Have you worked with families that have been in those situations? And if so, what do you see happens when they move to a homeschooling program? Mm.
I have, yes. I can think specifically of two particular families that I worked with where both had a son who was in upper middle school age. And in both cases, the child was extremely bright, but very kinesthetic, liked to move, was not a sit at a desk and do bookwork type child. And so because of that, they were, first of all, they were bored in school because they weren't learning in a way that was really connecting with them. And they were very frustrated because they were constantly being prodded and pushed into this mold to learn a certain way that just did not work for them. And so they were getting in trouble at school. They were being disrespectful because they were always frustrated. They were being told they were disrespectful because they were constantly moving up and down, you know, getting out of their seat when they shouldn't have been and things like that. But it was just because they had this energy, and it wasn't an ADHD kind of thing. It was just a child who was really built to move. Like they just are a very physical child. My daughter is very much like that. So I can completely, this is the child who got bored at Disneyland because, quote, all you do is sit on rides. So there are some kids, who need to be physically active, and it doesn't matter how exciting the thing is that they're sitting in front of, it's sitting and they don't want to do that, you know? And so in both of those situations, when the boys were brought home and they were able to learn in an environment that did not force them to sit at a desk, that did not force them to apply their incredible intelligence in one specific way, and gave them all of this freedom to be creative, this freedom to learn about the things that interested them, and to have the other things that they needed to learn be integrated through those interests. They blossomed, and they were so much happier. Their family was so much happier because they weren't constantly dealing with phone calls from, the guidance counselor or the teacher or the principal about having to hear about another reason why this child has another detention or whatever. And so they both have gone on to be much more, first of all, interested in learning. Education is so much more exciting and interesting when you're doing it in a way that makes sense to you and is tailored to you and your interests. But then also just they were emotionally and mentally so much lighter and happier. And that really filtered down to the rest of the family because everybody is affected. I mean, even siblings, when they see that there's constant tension between this parent and, you know, their brother or their sister, that filters to them too. They feel that tension. And so it helped the whole family to be able to relax and just to be happier, to be more free, to be, to not have that constant stress hanging them over them of what's it going to be next time? What's the next call going to be about? What's the next letter home going to be about?
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little about what homeschooling actually looks like.
Yeah.
there are so many myths and preconceived notions. And like you said, I mean, homeschooling has changed so much over the years. I know when we did it, everyone kept saying, oh, you're doing it for religion. I'm like, no. I mean, we just did it. To be absolutely honest, I have no idea why. I didn't know anybody who was doing it, but the idea occurred to me and intrigued me when my kids were already in a school that we loved and adored.
Uh-huh.
And so I just started reading about it and I went, this sounds really cool. Huh. So we did it. Now, the Davises did it differently. They ran into some problems in the school they were in. It was not working for their son. It was not working well at all. And later on in life, they found out there were actually bigger issues about one of the teachers that he had had. So like I said, you know, while our paths were similar there, we did it because we went, wow, this will be cool. This would be so interesting, so much fun. And Judy's like, I have to get my kids out of here.
Right, right.
So there are lots of different reasons to do it. What does it look like when a family says, okay, let's homeschool? And especially like we're talking about, you know, our middle school or high school kids. What are we going to do here?
Right. On the one hand, it can be very tricky to say because every family is so different. Every approach is different. And a lot of it is really going to depend on your reasons. What were your reasons for
wanting to interrupt you?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing, is that there isn't one way this looks.
Right. Right.
You can set up homeschooling that works for your family.
Exactly. And I think that's something else that people don't realize, is that there are so many different approaches to education in general, and applying those different approaches to homeschooling. You could take 10 families that all homeschool with kind of the same methodology, the same philosophy, and it's still going to look 10 10 different ways. It's going to look different for every family, which is fantastic, because what that means is there isn't this one right way that you're aiming for. And if you miss that mark, you're failing. And a lot of parents I know get really, really worried about doing it wrong, or, you know, we're going to fail our child. And I always tell them it's really hard to do that. Like if you're invested and you're doing your best and your due diligence, you're going to do great with your kids. Like you said, it may not always work, and it might end up not being the perfect fit. You may need to change it. That's okay. But one of the things that I don't think people realize is that homeschooling can look like very much like traditional school: books, workbooks, you know, the mom or the dad or whoever is doing the teaching, you know, giving almost like a lecture, teaching, you know, out of the textbook, out of the teacher's edition. It can look like no books. It can look like learning through life, learning, doing what's called unschooling, which is a very, it's a very different approach. And it's a fantastic approach for families that are really wired up that way, where they're really just letting their children steer what they want to do. What are you interested in? What do you want to learn about? What do you want to, you know, what kind of jobs interest you, or what kind of industries interest you? What kinds of concepts interest you? It doesn't have to necessarily have to be pointing to a specific job further down, you know, down the line. It's just learning about the world, learning about life. It can be, like you said, kind of literature, lots of books, talking and discussion. It can look like working with other families, taking extracurricular classes that are specifically for homeschoolers, so that they're, you know, if your child really enjoys, you know, being with other kids and discussing as they learn, you know, that child that loves doing the group project, loves, you know, being able to ask questions and talk things through, then finding these kinds of classes can be really helpful. So there are so many different factors and things that you can play with.
Like you can really tap into their passion. I know that's something that a couple of different guests have talked about when it comes to, in the formula for raising successful children, Ronald and Tatcha, I think it was episode 59, they talked about what they found was part of that formula was feeding your child's passions. Yes. So this is something we need to do as parents no matter what. But if you choose to homeschool, you can do it there. And then that makes it takes away that power struggle about school because they are interested in it and they are excited about it.
Yes. And when I work with my clients that have students that are in like middle school and older, I always tell the parent, look, your child now is at an age where they really should, if you're going to homeschool, they should have a say in what direction this is going to go. You know, they need to be learning how to be independent, how to be self-starters, how to self-direct their education and their learning. And the best way to do that is to get their input on what they're going to be learning, what they're going to be doing. And, you know, depending on the state that you're in, there may be requirements of things that you have to teach, or topics that you have to learn about, or things that you need to be specifically instructing on. But even within those requirements, there are going to be multiple ways to do it. And so giving your child some buy-in and some skin in the game and a say in what they're doing can make it much easier for them to be on board. Because, I mean, you just think of yourself, like if somebody comes to you and says, today you're going to sit here and learn about XYZ, or they say, hey, today you get to learn about whatever you want, which situation would you rather be in? You know? And so just thinking of how would you like to approach learning about things, and then giving your children that same environment and allowing them to guide, to steer, so that you are more of a facilitator and less of kind of the dictator who's saying, we have to do this, we have to do this, we have to do this.
Yeah. And that goes to that idea of unschooling. And I don't want to dig in deep, but I do want to talk about just a tiny bit, because that was one of the things that I have heard people misunderstand. What I hear a lot of parents, they say unschooling, and they think of it as just truly, literally letting the kids do what they want. So they sleep in until noon, and then they're in their pajamas eating sugared cereal, watching cartoons. Right. And it's like, no, that's not what unschooling is. It's just undoing the structure of school mm-hmm. and feeding your kids passions so that they want to learn how to do this. Right. My dad actually kind of does that at a local school by them once a year. Cool. He's an engineer. And mm-hmm. once a year, they have him come in and work on this project with the kids where they're building and racing boats, just wow. little toy boats.
Fine. Yeah.
But it's that piece of sparking the kids' interest in an activity. So then they're going, well, how do we do that? You know, we want to make this go faster. Well, they have to learn the math to do it. They're pulling it out of him. Mm-hmm. Going, well, how do we do this math? And how do we do this physics? And how do we do that? Because they want their boat to win the race. And this right. is the deal to them. That's, I mean, it's unschooling inside of a school setting.
Yeah. That is so cool. Yeah, that's that. You're absolutely right. That is one of the things that is very misunderstood and unfortunately has caused a lot of people to who are not very knowledgeable about homeschooling to make a lot of general assumptions about homeschooling based on things they've heard about people who unschool. And there is such a thing as radical unschooling, which is a little further down that road than I think is healthy. And it is kind of that idea of basically not giving your child boundaries, which children need boundaries. I mean, they're not developmentally ready to be completely in charge of their life. So unschooling in general is really more about saying, you know, okay, we don't have school time and life time. We just live life. And that means that, you know, you still have chores, you still have responsibilities, you still, you know, there are still going to be expectations for how you are conducting yourself and how you're spending your time. But I'm not going to tell you, you have to learn how to do this today, or you have to study this, or you have to, you know, sit here and use these materials. A lot of unschooling parents will do what's called strewing, which is basically they'll go to the library or they'll find various things, a book on something they think their kid would be interested in, or a DVD that's a documentary of something, or whatever. And they'll kind of just leave them around for their child to discover, and they see what they gravitate towards and what they're interested in. And so it's kind of a very subtle, sneaky way to kind of introduce new ideas and then just let your child go with them.
Yes, what you said was see what they gravitate towards. It wasn't trying to make them watch it. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to get this. Come on, honey, let's watch this, and trying to manipulate them into doing something.
Right.
It's I think they might be interested in this. Well, let's see. Let's mm-hmm. see what they're actually interested in. So I had not heard that, but I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And just the idea that you can learn so much just by following your natural curiosity. And you know, kids who have not been in a conventional school environment still have their natural curiosity intact, which is fantastic. A lot of kids, when they come home from a conventional school environment and you want to start homeschooling, you actually have to take a period for detoxing. We call it de-schooling, which is kind of getting out of that conventional mindset where you have constantly been told every day, here's what you need to learn and here's how you need to learn it. And so their natural curiosity kind of disappears because it's like a muscle that's not getting used. And so kids who've been homeschooled from the beginning typically have a very strong desire to continue learning about the things that they want to learn about. But the exciting thing, particularly for older students, older kids, as they are getting into those teen years and they're starting to look forward to college or life on their own or whatever, they may say, you know, I'm really interested in, you mentioned engineering before, they're really interested in engineering. They may be 14 years old and they've never taken a formal curriculum for math, but because they want to go into engineering, they are now intrinsically motivated to learn whatever it is that they need to learn in order to get into the program at the college that they want to get into. And I'm a member in a home or an unschooling group on Facebook, and I love reading the stories that moms will post about their kids that are 16, 17, 18 who've decided they want to be XYZ. They want to be a lawyer, they want to be an engineer, they want to be you know, whatever, and they have completely applied themselves to doing whatever they need to do to get into the program that they want to be into. And they end up getting scholarships to, you know, these big name schools, even though they have no, what we would call no formal education behind them, because they weren't sitting down with textbooks since they were in first grade. They just got to a point where they said, I know what I want. I know what I need to do to get it. And they were willing, even though it meant working maybe 7 or 8 hours a day to kind of catch up on things or to figure out what they even needed to be learning, they would do that because they want to. And that is the thing that's missing for so many kids in education, is that desire to want to learn. And so homeschooling is such a great way to reignite that excitement and that interest and that self-driven motivation to learn.
Yeah. And that actually goes to one of the hurdles parents can be thinking that they will face, which is this, how do I get them to do the work? Mm-hmm. And I know a young man who is, well, he would be eighth grade. He just turned 14.
Okay.
He is homeschooled, not because his mother went, oh yes, this is my dream of what I want to do. It was traditional school is not a good environment for him. He's mm-hmm. very bright, but has other issues, sound sensitivities, light sensitivities, fine motor skill issues. And then that combination of being intelligent and having these other issues makes it really hard sometimes for other adults. Oh, he also has very great reading issues. Mm-hmm. And so, people don't want to give him accommodations and they say, oh, you're just being lazy. And it's like, no, he's not. He's, he has challenged in executive function, which at his age, he wouldn't have a ton of anyway.
Right.
So that just wasn't a good environment. And initially mom and son were butting heads over certain things. Mm-hmm. One of the big challenges as he got older was doing history. This is a math and science kid. And what do I need history for? History, I have no interest in it. And what is history? History is a lot of reading, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they've been continuing on feeding those interests and letting him look forward to, what kind of future do you want? And mm-hmm. as he sees that and he sees these are things I would be interested in doing with my life, while they are not necessarily history based, he started to see where he has to get those history classes done.
Right.
So in order to move on.
So
he did it. It was very painful for him.
Yeah.
But he did it. And about like halfway through the year, he started going, history's really interesting. And then, because he made a comment to me one day, we were chatting, and he's like, maybe I'd major in history. And I just, my brain exploded. I'm like, why would you do that based on everything else that I know about this?
Yeah.
But that was one of the concerns I had, as we thought about, are we going to do high school or not? Is, oh my gosh, this one daughter and I are going to do nothing but butt heads.
Yeah.
And I don't think dad's going to be able to deal with the rigor of high school. Dad's on the autism spectrum. Executive function skills are not his forte. And at that point, he was doing all the homeschooling. I'm like, how's this all going to work? Kind of a thing. But that, so it was just that when you told that bit about how they start driving the train, so to say, mm-hmm. driving the car, right, about their education, they become interested in learning those things. And I just wanted to talk about that because to me, that is a hurdle that a lot of parents think about is, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to butting head with my kids and forcing them. I can't even get them out of bed to go to regular school. How am I going to get them to do their six subjects and
right,
all of that kind of thing? So let's talk a little bit more about what I know there's not a typical day because there's not a typical program.
Right.
But I think that, correct me if I'm wrong here, I would think that most families don't just recreate a school environment at home.
Right.
For the parent to stand up and teach the kid. I know, again, even when my kids, so the first year we homeschooled, my girls were in first and third grade. Mm-hmm. And yes, I walked them through their day, but I did not sit down with them. I went, here's this. This is what you need to do. And then I would go and do my thing and I would come back. Now I get that my kids would do that and not all kids will. Some need more structure or whatever, but it still wasn't me standing up in front and lecturing, even in their math.
Mm-hmm.
By, second, third grade, they would take their math workbook and go through it and try to figure it out. If they got stuck, then we coached them through it. Mm-hmm. But we didn't sit down and tell them how to do the math. We said, here are some resources for you to learn how to do it.
Right.
If you can't figure it out, if you're having trouble figuring it out, we'll see what we can do together.
Yeah. which is so fantastic because really when you think about it, what is the one skill you absolutely have to have? It's you need to know how to learn. You need to know how to find information and how to figure out things that you don't know, how to problem solve. And so if you teach your child that, then they can learn anything else that they're going to need to know because you've equipped them with that ability. So, and I think that's something that parents get worried about is they think, well, I'm not a teacher. And so I can't teach because I don't know all this stuff. And I always laugh at that because my background is in education. I was an elementary educator. That's what my degree is in. I also taught middle school. And I always tell parents, okay, here's what you don't understand. Just because you've gone to quote unquote teacher school and you have a degree does not mean that you then have, you know, 9 years worth of curriculum in your head. I'm certified to teach kindergarten through eighth grade. I do not have 9 years worth of curriculum in my brain that I can just whip out at any time and say, oh, I'm teaching fifth grade. Okay, wing, here it is. You know, it has nothing to do with that. And so parents get worried, oh, I'm not a teacher. I can't teach because I don't know this stuff. And they don't realize that, you know, okay, first of all, you have the teacher's edition yourself because you are the teacher now, right? Or you have programs that teach for you. Or if your child is the kind of child, like you said, it does depend on personality in a lot of cases and learning style. But a lot of kids, you can just say, okay, here's what you need to do, just like you did with your kids. Here's what you need to do, you know, problems 1 through 9 or, you know, this page or read to here or whatever. Let me know if you have any issues. And because we're trying to raise our kids to be independent, self-thinkers, self-starters, you know, we don't want to be holding their hand through every little thing. And so even, yes, starting at a young age, we did the same thing that you did, you know, saying, okay, you're going to do this while I'm working with your sister on this, and then y'all are going to switch and I'm going to work with her on that, and, you know, and just letting them take care of themselves, figure it out for themselves, and then come to me when they needed the help. And, but I do think personality definitely plays into that in a big way, because you're going to have some kids who do not want instruction. That's my older daughter. She is Miss Independent. She's 13 going on 25. She's got one foot out the door already. She's got a life plan, like no joke. And my younger daughter, though, has dyslexia, dysgraphia. So being independent is more difficult for her just because it takes much longer for her to learn those skills that she needs to be independent. Mm-hmm. So it actually kind of worked very well though, because my older daughter didn't want my help anyway. And my younger daughter needed it. So I'd be like, you know, I would just give my older daughter a checklist at the beginning of the day. Here you go. Here's what needs to be done. You know, before you get to play with friends, before you get to, you know, screen time or any of that, this is your work that needs to be done. This is your responsibility for the day. And that checklist would also have her chores. It would also have anything else on it that she needed to do. It wasn't just school, because we tried to integrate things as much as possible. We weren't unschoolers, but we did try to, you know, not just have school time and life time and kind of bring everything together. And so for the children that you can do that for, that's fantastic, because that's really the skill that they need to be learning anyway. And then for the children who do need your time, it's not like you are, you know, trying to rob them of that chance to be independent. It's just that you need to work with them in a different way that's going to get them to that level of independence. And it maybe will take longer, or you maybe need to go about it in a different way than you did for your older children. But that's the great part about homeschooling, is that you're tailoring everything you do to your children. So because they're unique, and so you teach them each uniquely.
Well, and you made the comment, you said parents say, oh, I'm not a teacher. And first, I just want to say, I have a different opinion, because every parent is a teacher.
Oh yeah. I always say the same thing. You have a child, you're a teacher. I hate to tell
exactly.
you.
Exactly. I mean, who taught them to walk and talk and get dressed and tie
the shoes, get dressed, use a spoon?
You have taught them millions and millions of things.
Yeah.
And if you can take that step back and go, okay, yes, I did teach them those things. Mm-hmm. And school doesn't have to be like a classroom.
Right.
Then I can find a way to help them learn what they need to learn. And mm-hmm. and that goes to, you know, like you said, you have the teacher's edition of the book. So right. you've got that if you need it. Or you go to outside resources. Mm-hmm. My husband is a math tutor. And so parents are all the time, I can't help my kid with Perfect. Their math homework. Or even, you know, he'll have parents come to him who they have the ability to do that work, but they're like, oh, I just can't work with my kid on this.
Right.
And he's like, I get it. My husband by education was an engineer. And yet the thing he struggled most in teaching our kids was science.
Yeah.
Not because we didn't have science as part of our life. Yeah, science just came into life in general and things would pop up, but creating a curriculum or following a curriculum to do science was so hard for him, you know? Yeah. So yeah, you can go to outside resources. And that's what's really cool with the homeschooling community now. And when you have older kids is your kids can do things like they can use Khan Academy. They can utilize a tutor and meet with them a couple of times a week to go through the stuff. You can join homeschooling groups and communities. And there are even, I don't even know what the term is, but it's kind of almost a community center for homeschoolers, and parents will trade. Like, I couldn't do art classes for my kids. Right.
Like a co-op.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. And so, you know, you'll trade off. It's like, you can do that. You can find resources. I love what you said, that the one skill that our kids must have is knowing how to learn and where to find information.
Yeah.
And that's something that you can teach them by going, I don't know this. I don't know how to do it. So, how can we do this? How can we get this for you?
Yes. And I think that kind of taking that kind of partnership approach to where I'm coming alongside you, we're going to learn together, can be really powerful, particularly when you have a child who's like my older daughter, who does not want to be instructed. She doesn't want to have to sit there and listen to someone talk over her and tell her what she needs to do. She wants someone to come alongside her and say, "Ooh, this is really cool. I know nothing about this. We should totally get a documentary on this, because this looks fascinating," instead of me saying, "I know this stuff and I'm going to make you learn it," you know?
Right.
And just being able to view education as an adventure we take together, as a journey we take together, instead of viewing it as this task that we need to complete right now in this way. And just kind of taking that pressure off and making it less formal and more casual, not just in the idea of not necessarily using textbooks and things like that, but just not having it be this formal arrangement of you are the student and I'm the teacher.
And then I'm going to test you.
And
I never gave my children a test.
Oh yeah. No,
by the time we were homeschooling.
Yeah.
Neither my husband nor I. Not technically true. Technically, the spelling program we used
testing. It's hard to find a spelling program that does not have a test attached.
but we loved it, and the kids appreciated it because they were voracious readers. They in second grade, my daughter had a 10th grade vocabulary. So if I was putting her through spelling books for a second grader or a third grader,
she'd be bored out of her mind.
She would have lost her mind. And so what the book did is went, what do you already know? Well, let's not waste our time on that.
Yeah.
Let's go there for a second. Okay. Sure. So, oh my gosh, if I homeschool my kids through high school, how will they ever get into college?
The same way everybody else does. Transcripts and SAT or ACT scores and essay and an application. And that's something parents always think, but I can't give a transcript or I can't sign a diploma. You are the principal of your school. Yes, you can. There's no difference between your transcript and a transcript from a public school. It's just from a different institution. And obviously, if your child wants to go to college, then you have to be gearing their education, driving their education in a specific direction to make sure that they're prepared. But again, that self-driven desire to want that for themselves is going to take care of, it should anyway, take care of a lot of that motivation and that, the requirements that you need to set up for them to do that. If they know, okay, in order to get into this school, you're going to need to get this score on your ACT or your SAT. We're going to need to make sure that you've got some really good stuff on your transcript in this particular area and this particular area. And so then they've got a game plan. Okay. If that's my goal, here's my game plan. I got to do this stuff, you know? And there's so many resource galore out there for parents who are homeschooling through high school, because it freaks parents out. They're so afraid their kid's not going to get into college. And so all homeschooling parents who are in high school or have, you know, kids in high school, there's kind of this, this community of like, we've got this, we're going to get our kids in, you know? And so everybody is willing to help and help each other out and work together. And, I love in the high school groups that I'm in on Facebook. I love seeing parents report back and say, you know, my child was just given a scholarship for this sport or this academic area or for this or for that, because people always assume homeschoolers aren't going to have access to that kind of thing, but they do. And that's one of the great things about homeschooling now, is that homeschooling has gotten to this level where there's so much more parity now in the eyes of colleges. I mean, colleges are seeing now homeschoolers are coming in very prepared, and a lot of colleges are actually starting to actively want to recruit homeschoolers.
That's what I'd seen. The homeschoolers were actually, in one of the articles I read, homeschoolers were getting accepted at a higher rate. Yes. And I would think that trend would continue as colleges are starting to, they're going through some change. Mm-hmm. And there is this bit of a movement of moving away from just the packed resume to looking at, okay, who is this person, mm-hmm. and how do they contribute to the world? You know, are they someone who contribute to the world because their parents both had to work and they had to come home and take care of their little siblings? Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah. Do they contribute to the world because they've had all this time and these resources and they went and did something amazing in their community? That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But not just this laundry list of quote unquote stuff I did.
Right. Exactly. They want well-rounded people, mm-hmm. and they want students who are going to reflect well on their university, obviously. And so students who are very self-driven, very motivated, very intrinsically driven to learn and to want to explore and be creative and be curious and to follow their curiosity. Those are all things that in a college environment can take you incredibly far in all of these incredible directions. And because homeschooled students are not, they haven't gone through that cookie cutter factory approach to you learn, you take the test, you learn, you take the test, you learn, you know, mm-hmm. they're more interested in talking about the things that they're learning, and they're not afraid to ask questions because they're used to asking questions all the time. They're just talking with mom, you know, or they're just mm-hmm. talking with so-and-so's mom. And so there's not this idea of, you know, you have to, that they're afraid to talk to their teachers because they're used to having a very close connection with their teachers. And so they go into college and they're just used to raising their hand, or not even raising their hand. They're just used to blurting out a question. Well, now wait a minute, you said this, but what about this? What about, you know? And so professors and TAs are starting to see that these homeschool kids are, they're coming at education from a completely different angle. And it's giving them an edge over these other students because it's allowing them to see the world in a very different way and to view their own education in a very different way. And so they do very well in college. And the reports and the research that I've been reading lately is suggesting that homeschool students tend to do better in college. They tend to graduate at a higher rate, and they tend to do even better on things like the SAT and the ACT. So they're not coming with a disadvantage like a lot of people would assume they are. It's actually quite the opposite.
I know when my kids were in college, again, it was not the high school years, it was, you know, elementary and junior high, mm-hmm. but I do know that our conversations went back to the homeschooling years. Even in high school, one year my daughter was in an advanced math class and their teacher was going to be out for an extended period of time, and the long-term substitute teacher didn't have a math background. Ooh. And she came home and she was so upset because this teacher doesn't understand the material. She can't explain anything. And, you know, she didn't ask us to do anything about it, but she was angry. And the kids were trying to figure out, you know, should they complain to the principal? And I just looked at her and I said, you taught yourself math before and you're in a class. This is an advanced math class. For goodness sakes, get the 20 of you together and figure it out. And yeah. If you can't figure it out and your teacher can't, ask your dad to come sit in and all of you get together and he'll walk, you know, he'll help you guys figure out how to get through it.
Yeah.
But it was just that, and it was that reminder to her that you are responsible for mm-hmm. teaching yourself.
Yeah.
So for it, and again, for me, it took the stress off of it. I didn't have to think about, geez, do I need to talk to the school? Do I this? Do I that? It was like, you know what? You are smart enough to do this. And if you don't, there are resources around you. Find right. one and get it. But
yeah,
it was just being able to go back to that and say, you've done this before.
Yeah.
I know you know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And that was more of the experience that they did have in college.
Yeah.
You know, and my two daughters had two different, one was a science curriculum and one was a liberal arts school. And I will say that I saw it more so in the liberal arts school. The science curriculum, like I also went through math and science. I went through a technological college. And it was, yes, at a higher level, but still a lot of professors imparting knowledge to you.
Yeah.
But in that liberal arts school and in the non-tech classes, it is much more like a homeschooling environment. It's okay, so you guys read this material for class. What does it mean? What do we do mm-hmm. with it? How does this impact the world? So I do think that those things help. But couple of other things I want to touch on because we're going to run out of time. And I know there are some other misconceptions or concerns that parents have that are pretty common. And one is the cost of homeschooling. Now, again, like I said, we did it coming from a private school, so it was an enormous cost savings for us.
Oh,
but
right,
what about families who are concerned and saying, you know, how are we going to afford to do this? Or we both work. Mm-hmm. We can't have somebody quit their job to do this. Our family can't afford it. What do you have to say about those?
Those are definitely big issues that parents are, that I find are two of the reasons why parents choose not to homeschool, because they don't see a way around those. In terms of the cost, homeschooling, yes, it can be expensive if you are bent on making sure that you have all of these things, all of this stuff. And you can definitely acquire a lot of stuff when you homeschool. But if you have a library card, if you have access to the internet, you can realistically, you can do homeschool for free or close to it, because the resources are there are just so many of them now. And particularly if you're willing to put in some time in piecing things together, if you don't mind doing that, then you're going to be able to find more than enough in terms of free curriculum, in terms of just resources that are out there in the forms of things like documentaries or docuseries. You know, if you have access to things like Netflix and, I mean, just even YouTube, you can learn anything on YouTube. Oh my gosh, you can learn anything on YouTube.
There is that. Well, and crazy. I mentioned Khan Academy. You know,
and Khan Academy. Khan Academy is fantastic. Yes. So there are so many resources. If you really do not have the money, you can still homeschool. And that is a big discussion within the homeschool community. It's not going to be hard to find resources from other homeschoolers that point you in the direction of good quality stuff that is cheap or free. And the homeschool community is great for resale too. So families who have purchased curriculum in the past and they're done with it now, you know, the non-consumable parts of that, they'll turn around and sell. I got a curriculum, a literature-based curriculum, very similar to what you were talking about using with your kids. It was an $800 curriculum and I got it for $200. And it was because it was quite old. I mean, I think it was maybe 8 or 9 years old, but it was all literature-based. Like, it's not like we've had big advances in literature in the last 9 years, you know? Great books are great books. It doesn't matter when they were written. And so I was able to get this full curriculum for a full year that I could use for both of my girls for $200. And, you know, there's loads of homeschool bloggers who create, you know, printables and downloadables and who will devote, you know, in fact, I think there's even blogs themselves that are devoted to free and cheap homeschooling. So if that's like the one thing that's holding you back, if you spend a little time just kind of digging around into how to homeschool for free, how to homeschool for cheap, you're going to find so many resources out there. And you can give your children a fantastic education without spending a lot of money. Absolutely. And then in terms of homeschooling, when you still have to work, that's another, oh my gosh, that's, we could talk about that for another hour in and of itself, because there are so many different ways to approach it. But when your children are older, when they're at an age where they can be either home alone or they can be, you know, they can self-direct while you're, you know, like if you work from home, for example, or if they're able to come with you and they can sit in a lobby or they can sit in a break room or whatever and work on their stuff. If they're, you know, if you're teaching them to be self-directed and independent in their work, then they're going to be able to take care of that while you are also working. Obviously it's a little harder with younger kids, but with teenagers, it's actually probably very good for them because it's forcing them to have to be self-directed and independent and to figure out, you know, to do that problem solving on their own when they get stuck on that math problem and you can't, you know, get off the phone with the client or come out of the business meeting to help them with their algebra. They're going to have to figure out how to solve that problem on their own. So you're setting them up for to build these really fantastic life skills that they need. And it may just be purely out of necessity for you, but it's a fantastic opportunity for them. And so, you know, yes, obviously every family is different and they, you know, there may be issues, particularly if your child has a particular diagnosis that makes it hard for them to work on their own. Between other things like other homeschooling families that you can work with, hybrid programs, which are kind of a new thing that's really starting to take off, which is basically a combination of homeschooling and conventional schooling, where your child attends classes on like a university model, like they're in school Tuesday, Thursday, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then at home on the off days, they have a checklist of work that they do. That's another option that kind of gives you a little bit more freedom, but it kind of takes that pressure off of you to be having to figure something out every day and figuring out their curriculum. But there are just so many different options out there for figuring out how to make homeschooling work for your family. I always tell families, don't write homeschooling off just because you don't see yet how it can work. Because once you're in the homeschooling world, or if you're talking to someone like me as a coach who knows this world, we know of so many resources that you've probably never even heard of that we can connect you with to make this possible.
There are. And there's so many things I want to say that we just don't have time for, but there's one thing you mentioned and I want to touch on this very briefly again. You know, mm-hmm. you made the comment that you bought a curriculum that worked for both of your daughters. And this mm-hmm. was something we did not touch on. And it comes to both time, well, all three, time, energy, and money. Mm-hmm. And that is that homeschooling can and is designed to be able to work with multiple kids at the same time. So yeah. if you have three kids, you do not necessarily have to purchase three curriculum.
Right.
You do not
right.
have to run through three sets of lessons. Mm-hmm. You can work off of one concept and then just adjust things for each child based on their interests, their skills, their abilities.
Right.
And then you can also do that feed their passions piece mm-hmm. of it.
Yep.
And then with the money thing, you know, I mentioned that, yes, we were coming from a private school, so it was a big savings for us. But once I got into it, like you said, there are all these resources, right? There are all mm-hmm. these opportunities. Oh my gosh, they could be taking the art and the music and the foreign languages and the horseback yep. riding, as well as the core. We were doing all their core curriculum and stuff. And there were just so many things that they could do, which cost money, cost time, cost energy. Mm-hmm. And so my husband and I sat down, which I'm sure that you do something like it with every client who comes in, Allison. I'm guessing that your starting point is, what do you want for your child? And
yes.
you know, Tom and I sat down and went, okay, when they're adults, this is what we want. And we came mm-hmm. up with this list, and it was so short. I can't remember exactly what the items were, but basically you wanted them to be happy, functioning mm-hmm. human beings. And even when it came to math, he's an engineer, I'm a statistician. We said, but really in the real world, other than the getting into college and playing the games kind of thing, right. to function as a human being, if you yeah. can get through fourth grade math, you're yeah. good.
You're good. Exactly.
You know, so yeah. we went after that, if they're math oriented, fine. If they're not, fine. But mm-hmm. we just came up with this short list. And every time I started getting stressed out, or if my budget, because we did set a budget, you know, I said, okay, mm-hmm. or here's my budget. If I have, you know, do I have room in the budget to add in horseback riding lessons?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Then I talk to the kids and say, hey guys, you know, you said you had an interest in this. That's cool. But our budget's not handling it. So let's talk about, is there another way you'd like to learn about horses? Is the horseback riding more interesting than something else you're doing? And, you know, talk about mm-hmm. it. And my one daughter ended up working for her lessons.
Oh, awesome.
You know, she worked for the farm and traded for lessons. So,
oh, that's so great.
There are lots of things. And I wanted to point that out because I can also see parents going, oh my gosh, I can't do 2 and 3 kids or like you said, with the money side of that.
Yeah.
So overall, there are a lot of different reasons to homeschool. And some of them come down to preferences or philosophy, and some come down to problems like the school's not a good fit or the culture at the school is not a good fit or things like that. And homeschool can help in a lot of those ways, but we also shouldn't look at it as totally, I love that you said the silver bullet, because if there are social problems or things, we still need to work with our kids on the roots of those. Mm-hmm. But homeschooling can take off a lot of that day-to-day pressure to help you work through those things.
Right.
Homeschool is, you really want to ignite your child's natural curiosity again. So you might go through a deschooling period if you decide to do this. Mm-hmm. And you want to focus on the idea that you want the kids to be independent, to learn that one skill that they really need, which is to know how to learn and find information. Mm-hmm. Allison, you said we don't have to be a teacher, that, you know, I mean, essentially we already have taught our kids.
Because you are. Yeah.
Right. We are.
You don't have to be a certified teacher. Right.
There we go. I like that. You don't have to be a certified teacher. We have the teacher's edition of the book and lots of outside resources. And you can just tell your kids, you know, this is a journey of I'm coming along beside you. Let's learn this together and start viewing education as a journey that you take together. And there are tons of resources out there. You don't have to worry about ACTs, SATs, transcripts, and things. I mean, not that you don't have to do it, but it's not something to worry about.
Right.
And you are one of the resources out there. So I love that you're actually a homeschooling coach. Honestly, that wasn't something I'd heard of before. And I love that idea because I was fortunate. We homeschooled in Michigan. There were no state requirements.
Oh, it's
but
fantastic.
I have, you know, I have friends who have done it in other states, and that adds a whole nother level of anxiety about it.
Yep.
Yeah. So can you share your website with our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. It's goodschooling.net.
So that will, of course, also be in our show notes at Mighty Parenting. Thank you, Allison, for joining us. Thank you, Mighty Parents, for listening. Remember to go to mightyparenting.com to get everything else that we have for you, to get that support we have for you. Want to thank those of you who have been supporting us through patronage on Patreon. We so appreciate that, helping to keep us on the air. And remember, if you're here, you are a Mighty Parent. And I will see you next week.